Good afternoon. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, except I am not in the captain's chair. I am in another captain's wardroom in the Coast Guard Cutter Spar in Duluth, Minnesota. And I'm here with John Ottman, J-O-N, John Ottman, and his son Cody, and his lovely wife Karen, and the captain in Spar, and one of the members of the Chief's Mess, not too newly enfranchised Chief Mouton, an ensign who is aspiring to go to flight school and be a brown shoe, and a young fireman who is newly with us. Come on there, young man. It's not all that hard. Well, that's okay. You can smile. It's good. I'll make sure that everybody has a good time with this. So we're going to start off because we don't have much time, and so my greetings go out to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the earth to the Kingdom of Sweden, to which Stockholm is the capital on the other, and all of Captain Joe's people in between. And in particular to all of the people who serve and sail in the Black Fleet. To those of us who wear the shield, the Black Fleet are the ships that go out and actually do the hard and often dirty and often very dangerous work of maintaining the floating and shoreside aids to navigation that keep the shipping, that keeps our nation alive, safe as they move their way through our waterways. And so my special greetings go out to all of those people who carry out that particular kind of work. And in even more particular to the hands who sail in Coast Guard's Cutter Spar. Spar carries a particularly significant name to Coast Guard people because her predecessor was one of the three ships that were the first ones to make the circumnavigation of the North American continent. And the current spar is larger, heavier, and in fact, is probably, as much as I would dislike having to say it, is probably much more capable in terms of the kinds and types and weights of buoys and other aids to navigation that she services. So, Captain, many thanks to you for your hospitality, and you get a chance to respond to this in just a minute. On the binnacle list today, I can report only improvements for those of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list. Right across from the wardroom, which is where we are right now, is sick bay. And earlier today, I talked to Doc. It does not matter what the rating or what particular specialty a shipboard medic has. They are always called Doc. And it turns out that Doc here was just advanced to first class. And so we are sending a signal through the wardroom door, across to sick bay, across the way, to Doc, and congratulations for that. Cody, it's your turn. And so when I hand you the telephone, the first question that I have is what you and I talked about. And I want you to tell all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, and there really are people that listen to us every single Tuesday at one bell of the afternoon watch in the Pacific time zone. So I want you to take the phone from me, and I want you to tell everybody who you are, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and then we're going to go over to the young fireman over here and ask him a couple of questions. All right, Cody, here you go. I want you to tell us who you are and how you got here.
Hello, my name is Kodiak Soros Ottman. I am actually looking forward to meeting all the other Soros vets.
Is there anything that you would like to say about your parents?
Well, they are very nice because they are helping me that things I cannot do.
What are some of the things that you cannot do that they help you with?
Not touching things I'm not supposed to touch.
Uh-huh. A good rule. So some people aboard ship, when they first start out, are knob twisters and switch flickers. and you are obviously being trained not to be one of those. Is that true?
Yeah, I guess it can be.
Okay. Now, I know because your parents have told me this that you're homeschooled. How is that going?
It's going pretty well.
Are you ready to start university?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Well, I'm counting on it to happen. So we're now going over to this young fireman, passing the phone over. Tell us who you are, where you came from, and a little bit about what you do in Spark.
So my name is Fireman Betzing. I'm originally from Clearwater, Florida. I just got out of boot camp about a month ago. Came here to Coast Guard Cutter Spar, and I'm a fireman. So right now I'm just working on getting qualified as soon as possible. I'm trying to knock that out. While I'm doing that, I'm doing break-in watches in ECC for journeyman engineer break-in. So just going around the ship, doing rounds, checking on everything, making sure everything's in parameters, where it's supposed to be at. And right now we're in port, so I'm working on import watch standard breaking in. So just keep an eye on the quarterdeck, on the brow, making sure who's coming on, off, and all that. So
how long ago did you go to Cape May?
I arrived at Cape May on March 5th, graduated April 26th.
And was it cold on the grinder at Cape May?
It was. It was freezing. So coming from Florida, I think the coldest weather I had been in was around 40-ish degrees, maybe. So we had a couple of days where the puddles iced over and everything, and the wind chill up there is pretty bad. So I was cold, definitely.
And so I was the captain of one of our Coast Guard cutters that was homeported in Cape May, and I'm very familiar with that part of the world. And so did you ever pull a Liberty in Wildwood?
I did not go to Wildwood. I went to, I think it was Rio Grande. They just opened up a new movie theater there and just kind of hung out there, laid low, talked to family and everything.
Laid low?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
what
sir.
Does that mean?
Stay on the phone, stay out of trouble. That's all I was trying to do.
All right. Well, considering your seem to be anyway somewhat reluctant to participate in talking on to Captain Joe's people all over the world, you did just fine.
Thank you.
And thank you for becoming one of us. And it is my hope and my wish, and it would be my command if I were in a position ever to command anything again, that this would be just the beginning for you of a great time, whether you stay for one tour or whether you stay for your entire life, that it be a great experience with your shipmates. And in my closing remarks, I'm going to talk a little bit about shipmates, because I do get to close out this broadcast. Over to the engine. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ensign Tyler Bland, currently serving on board Coast Guard Cutter Spar. I graduated the academy in May of 2023. I've been stationed on board Spar for around 11 months now, just coming up on a year. So I've been the supply officer on board, dealing with purchases and travel, as well as working with our corpsman on board. I've also been breaking in underway OOD, so I've been working hard to become a good ship handler with working buoys throughout the Great Lakes on Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and Lake Huron for buoy seasons in both the spring and the fall. So it's been a great ride this first year on board Coast Guard Cutter Spar.
You told me, and now I want you to tell all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, what do you want to do next?
Personally, I want to finish out my tour on board Spar and attempt to get into the flight community.
footwear do you get to wear if you are a aviator?
Actually, today I learned from Captain Joe that aviators are referred to as brown-shoed Coast Guardsmen and women.
And even if you don't get a uniform which includes brown shoes, you're still called a brown shoe if you pass everything and you become a Coast Guard aviator.
Yes, sir.
So if you become a Coast Guard aviator, one of the things that you would hopefully get to do is fly off of the icebreaker.
Yes, sir.
So that is when you are amalgamated into the black shoe community. That requires a certain amount of shift of attitude. So when you go to Pensacola, they're going to try to indoctrinate you into the idea that flying is the only thing that we should be doing in this life. Don't accept that. Actually, what we're doing here is what you should be doing in life. That's why there's a difference between brown shoes and black shoes. Now, tell me where you originally came from.
So I was originally born in Miami, Florida. I've been moving all over the place. I've only ever lived in one area no more than 4 years.
Are you a service brat?
Yes. My dad was also in the Coast Guard.
Ah. Well, hi, brown shoe. Your dad was a brown shoe?
He was.
You
yes, sir.
You did not disclose that to me. Well, you have done a wonderful job for all of us that have been here for this gathering of more chronologically senior people. You've done a wonderful job for us, and I'm particularly happy that you're here today so that your captain could hear that. If your ex over here, I would tell him, because he's the one that drafts your fitness report of you. Who we are, I guess who we are. So XO is the one that I'm sure in this command drafts, but your captain is the one that signs it. If you go off with, hopefully you'll go off with a really good one. Is he going to go off with a halfway decent one, Captain?
He's got a decent one.
Halfway decent one.
Going up.
All right, well, it's pretty good. Did it start off way down here and work it out?
No.
All right. So I wish you every success and every happiness in your career.
Thanks, sir.
Pass the phone over to the chief.
Sir. Thank you, Captain Joe. Captain Joe's listeners, hi. I am Chief Electrician's Mate Mark Mouton, originally from Mobile, Alabama. Joined the Coast Guard in May of 2010, where went off to Cape May, and then I was a reservist, actually, for 6 years at the Port Security Units. Deployed to Guantanamo for a year. Came back, realized I liked the active duty lifestyle. Went active and got placed on Coast Guard Cutter Mellon in Seattle. Spent a year there. After the Mellon, went out to Patforsois, shoreside. Got underway on Aquidneck and ADAC out there. And came back, sailed on Coast Guard Cutter Chippewa in Tennessee. From there, went to Coast Guard Cutter Juniper in Hawaii, and now I'm here, Coast Guard Cutter Spar. So,
when you came from Mobile, did you know that Mobile was a Coast Guard city?
Yes, so Mobile, APC Mobile.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I did a lot of swim team meets at ATC Mobile. They had a very nice pool. Decided to stray away from the aviation community, though.
So, electricians mate in a ship that has so much electrics to it, which this one certainly does, is no rating is more important than any other. And within the watertight envelope of a cutter, we are all, first of all, shipmates, and each of us must depend and rely on the other. If your captain has done his job, then he's the one that can be left behind when you go off on a mission. I never wanted to be left behind, so I never was. And I suspect that your captain doesn't want to be left behind either when you go out. I was raised by chief petty officers, and so I have a special fondness in my heart for them, both personally and professionally. And if we had the time, which we don't, I would tell you a couple of chief petty officer stories of chiefs that I have known who helped me. One of them has to do with the first master chief of the Coast Guard, Charlie Calhoun. And you told me when we first got started that you have been a chief for just a year.
Just a year.
Where did you do your initiation?
Here. Just recently finished our CCTI. And a very rewarding experience. Very grueling, but definitely worth it.
Good. So when I said that I was, something you want to say?
Oh, no, I was going to...
He actually went through with us as one of...
During the CCTI initiation.
Were you his defense counsel?
He was not. Mr. Williams was, but he was one of the ensigns in there.
Did you endure the full initiation?
I was a part of most of it. Yes, sir.
Good. So we're going to pass the phone over. Chief, I wish you every success.
Thank you, Captain Joe.
And I take this opportunity, because you are a chief petty officer, to to thank all chiefs that I have served with and sailed with, and almost without exception, they all lived and knew the chief's creed. I myself am an honorary chief petty officer, and so I treasure that as one of the great honors of my life. So pass over to the captain.
Captain, we're moving along in a smart and seamanlike fashion here. I only get half an hour. And it's my half an hour to talk all over the world about people that are so important to me. And I started out when I was 17. I went to the academy when I was 17 in 1952. That's how far back we go. We slept in hammocks in Eagle. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Lieutenant Commander Joel Ray. I enlisted 19 years ago. I actually got to be at Fireman Bessing, his arrival night when he came to Cape May, which was almost 19 years to the day when I was there. I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, and I've sailed West Coast out of Polar Star on Hickory and Homer, and I was on active for a short time. Sailed the Great Lakes on Coast Guard Cutter Mobile Bay with the barge, and then Coast Guard Cutter Alder, and then Coast Guard Cutter Spar. And I've been blessed to be in this command position with the people that serve here with me.
So Mobile Bay is one of the 140s, and the lead ship in the class is Katmai Bay. And I had Katmai Bay as one of my group units in Group Sioux when she was first commissioned. And her first captain was Dick White, and he had been my operations officer in Northwind in the Antarctic. His chief of the boat was Master Chief Bosun's mate, Mike Calhoun. Master Chief Bosun's mate, Mike Calhoun, was son of the first Master Chief of the Coast Guard, Charlie Calhoun. And when the day that we were getting ready to get underway to go to Vietnam, I only did one XO tour in my whole career, and that was XO in Ingham going to Vietnam. The day that we were getting underway, a ship was crowded with all sorts of people, all of them saying goodbye because we were going to be deployed for at least a year. And I was XO, and XO's day is never done. If you work your XO hard, as you should, then he never gets to sleep. So I only did that one XO tour. I've been a captain every other time. So the messenger of the watch came to me, and he said, XO, there's this Master Chief up on the quarterdeck that wants to talk to you. I said, well, shit.
I really don't have time. I'm trying to get all of these people sorted out and moved. And I said, all right, tell Master Chief that I'll meet him on the quarterdeck. So I went up and met him on the quarterdeck here. He said, XO, I know your captain is really busy because he was in the cabin saying goodbye to his family. And he said, I bring to you the personal greetings of the commandant and his best wishes for your successful deployment. And he said, your job on behalf of your captain is to make sure that everybody comes home safe. And I said, well, Master Chief, I will do that. And I said, your name is Calhoun, right? And he said, that's right. And I said, I think I have your son. In ship's company with me, a somewhat unpromising seaman. Master Chief said, that'd be Mike. So we had our final conversation, and he said, now I'm going to get underway. The commandant sends his personal greetings and best wishes. Please convey those to your captain. And that's my Mike Calhoun story. And now we have a cutter that is named for him. And I think that it is a great honor both to him and his own family, but also to all of the Chief Petty Officers that are serving. Now, back to you. Tell us a little bit about your operation with this ship, because she came from Alaska.
Yeah, Spar came to Baltimore for midlife overhaul, and she was in Baltimore for over a year. We dropped Alder off, cleaned everything out of Alder, and stored it for the entire winter, and when we came back and Spar was ready for us to move in, she was not ready for us to move in. We made her ready to move in, and we moved everything that we had stored off of Alder and brought it onto Spar, and just brought Spar back to life. And the yard did a lot of work, mostly auxiliary work, to get her through the midlife. And we retrained the crew and brought her from Baltimore all the way back through the Seaway and into Duluth. And that happened in, April of 2022, that we brought her back. And this is her new home port. And like I like to say, it's her homecoming, considering Spar 403 was built here in Duluth. And now Spar's back here for good, hopefully.
So tell me a little bit about her icebreaking qualities. I asked the question because I have broken ice in all five of the Great Lakes, and I have moved convoys of loaded ore boats from here all the way to the mill towns in South Lake Erie. And so I'm always interested in how we do that. So what do you think about her qualities as an icebreaker? She does not have a traditional icebreaking hull. I know that.
So if you're an icebreaker, you know this hull is not ideal for icebreaking. Right. She can break ice in a straight line pretty well, actually surprisingly well, compared to coming off of Polar Star or a 140 icebreaker.
Yep.
This is like a Studebaker. It goes straight line.
Probably what a Studebaker is.
No, they don't know what to do with it. It is a yacht compared to a regular traditional icebreaking hull, which like a 140 is a Ferrari in the ice. But she does have the power to do it. We've broken up the 36 inches of ice here in the Great Lakes, in the harbor here. It gets pretty thick. And you know, when we brought her back from Baltimore, we entered out of the locks and went right into Whitefish Bay. And we did 7 direct assists that day, and it was spring of 2022. So we immediately got put into operations and in doing direct assists on 7 ships in Whitefish Bay.
So we still call it Operation Taconite.
It is still Operation Taconite.
And when you get down to, well, you don't go as far as Detroit, right? To the Rouge River.
We actually have not been used. They've wanted to keep us in Duluth Harbor for the last couple of winters until they walked Duluth Harbor. So we've stayed in Superior the last 2 winters. And before that, they did have a below the locks, I believe in 2019, and that was Alder. And so since then,
about the rock cut yet?
I have not broke as yet. I have not had the pleasure of casting anymore.
Okay. So, my technical question, is there an ice knife down over the rudder?
We do have a rudder horn.
You still back down with the rudder amidships, Russell.
Yeah, the minute one training.
Yeah. So I'd like you to, I get to always get to send this on our way, but I would like you to talk a little bit, and really a little bit, about your own command philosophy. What do you think about as the captain of this particular ship? What do you think about and how you work with your people?
The first point in the command philosophy, there's not points. There's three paragraphs I wanted to emphasize. One was professional mariner, being professional mariners. And that is that when we walk on this ship, we are not just coasties. We are professional coasties. This is our profession, and we are going to learn our job, whether it's being an electrician, whether it's being a junior engineer, whether it's being a deck watch officer. You learn that job and become a professional at it. And we try to navigate the lakes in that manner, conveying to the public that what we are doing is we are professional at it. The second thing is building grit, and that this is an extremely hard job. I expect our crew to come in here and embody grit, because it takes grit to do this job day in, day out, and to support each other as shipmates. You have to have some grit to do it. And then respect, is that we're all human beings. And regardless of the backgrounds we all come from, wherever it is, whatever our beliefs are, we come on this ship and we demonstrate respect, because each person is a human, and one of the best humans of ours.
So you are saying words which are a balm to my troubled soul, and I am delighted to hear you say things like that, because we are shipmates. We are not workforce. We are not all of these other things that are so popular right now. We are shipmates, people who are more concerned about their mates and their ship than they are themselves. So if you hand the phone back, I get to say the final word, and the final word is this, that it is always a pleasure and a special privilege for me to be allowed once again to come aboard ships, cutters in the Coast Guard fleet. It is a profession that I have followed my whole working life, and when I get an opportunity to pontificate from either the captain's chair and my own captain's chair, or from, as I am here, the wardroom of another captain, it is always a pleasure and a special privilege for me to be able to do that. We live in troubled times, and we always have lived in troubled times. But when I am around and surrounded by my own kind of people, it warms the cockles of this captain's black heart. So this is your Captain Joe. We have come once again to the end, with many thanks to Captain Wright for his hospitality. Captains always carry the name of their ship, so thank you, Spar, for being so hospitable. Chief Mouton, may you soon, when it's your time, become senior chief. Young fireman, thank you so much. Mr. Bland, may you be safe in the air. And Cody, thank you so much for your part in all of this. So this is your Captain Joe. I am always on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and next week we'll meet again. I will be back in my captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon, and we will cover some of my usual features, but it will not be the same kind of broadcast as we're doing today, because this is a special time for me when I'm able to talk to and be with people that like the people that I was privileged to command for so many times. So we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. This is your Captain Joe on station and watching properly.